Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm super excited to kick off my Winner's Way In series, where every week I'll be talking to a different winner, you know, to catch up on Big Brother, answer some burning questions from fans. And when I was thinking about my first guest, there was literally no one else I was thinking of. I had to ask the reigning queen, winner of Big Brother 24, America's favorite player, the first Black woman to ever win a non-celebrity version of Big Brother, and a friend of mine, Taylor. So Taylor, thank you for joining me.
It was a no-brainer. I love you. I would, like, you could tell me to jump off a cliff and I would think about it.
Oh, thank you. Well, before we dive into, like, what's going on with Big Brother, because obviously there was a lot of news today, catch me up. Like, how have you been? You have a new dog. What's been going on?
Yes, I have a little puppy. He's 10 weeks.
He's adorable.
His name is Benji. He's a sweetie pie. I call him a road dog because I just got him a week and a half ago and he's been traveling with me everywhere. The options were either board him somewhere or don't bond with him or take him everywhere. So I've been taking him everywhere. And then he goes to puppy training very soon. So My first pet ever. I'm very happy. He's a sweetie pie. And outside of that, I'm just focusing on the future. So working really hard on breaking into entertainment news, looking at a move to LA in the fall. So I'm putting the gears in action.
Yeah. I briefly saw you at the Big Brother party, Azza's party. You were completely surrounded the whole night. You were like, everyone wanted to talk to you. I got to say hi quickly, but did you have fun? Any good stories from that night?
Any good stories from that night? Well, I mean, there's a million things that happened, but I think it's kind of funny because I love Azza and she throws fabulous, amazing events. Mm-hmm. But I was really nervous about what it would be like being at this event, watching the new season, being there with my castmates. I'm in a good place with a majority of the cast, but I still just didn't know what I was going to feel being in that environment, being around fans, seeing the new cast come in. But the second that I walked through that door, it was just like an epic experience. I was so comfortable. I was having so much fun. I had nothing but good memories that were flooding me from the last season. So, I mean, look, I was dancing on tables. I was having shots of tequila. I was espresso martinis with tequila. It was a good time. It was a really good time. And yeah. I met Monica Bailey, which I didn't even know was going to happen. Just all of a sudden, LaJuan came up to me and was like, this is Monica. And my jaw was on the floor. And Monica had the nerve to look at me and say, thank you for acknowledging me. I was like, who are you to say that to me? What do you mean? She said all these years have gone by and she just feels like she hasn't gotten the constant recognition that she deserves. So it meant a lot for her, for me to mention her name on the show, but it just felt like,
wow,
you know, the legacy of the show gets really overwhelming sometimes. And I just hope that I can continue to make her and other legacy Big Brother players feel special because they deserve it.
Yeah. And I'm sure you felt really good when you come out of the house and you have like Danielle Reyes, like rooting for you as well. Like that was
insane.
Cool.
Well, I mean, like, look, I played a different type of game. It's a different type of game than I wanted to play. And it's one of those things where internally you can validate it as much as you want to, but you don't know if the rest of the world will. And I've been saying a lot lately, like, stuff only works when it works. And sometimes it doesn't work and it gets validated, or sometimes it doesn't work and people will just destroy your game or any tactics that happen. So I'm lucky to be considered for people to really validate my game. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So talking about Big Brother 25, is it weird for you to be like, that's my house, I was just there? Like, is it, have you watched any of it? Or are you kind of like just checking in?
So I've watched all the episodes and I have kind of been trying to keep up with the live feeds. I remember when I was watching 23, I felt like it was a lot to keep up with the 3 episodes a week. But now that I'm, you know, part of the alumni and I'm trying to watch the episodes and I'm trying to keep up with live feeds, I'm like, how do y'all do this? Don't get rid of the live feeds, but God, it's hard. It's hard to keep up with them and know what's going on. Taryn's updates are a godsend, but even then, things move so quickly that you don't know what's important and what is not important. So I'm still trying to get my brain in the mind frame, but there are some moments too, where I'm like, I need to take a step back. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need all this. And then I see someone sleeping in my bed. And I'm like, that's my bed. Or that's the toilet I shat on for.
Who's in your bed? Which bed?
Felicia's in my bed in the front, all the way in the corner.
Well, that's a good person to have in your bed. She's like, so hilarious.
She always keeps me laughing. I need her to be on like an 8th mic pack by now. Like,
yes,
keep it pushing. I'm enjoying her.
Yeah. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about this because it did happen today. Luke was expelled from the game for just like throwing around the N-word like it's a casual thing. What's your response? Like, how did you think CBS handled that?
Well, I'm glad. I don't think that it would have been handled in the way if it weren't for my season and season 23.
Mm.
I think both of those seasons, I call them the Iliad and the Odyssey. Like they stand alone, but they're also the prequel and the sequel to the other. But both of our seasons acknowledged and highlighted a pattern, not just of house guests, but of the structure, the infrastructure of Big Brother. Mm. And what I really appreciate is that the lessons that were taught and learned were not just for America to apply, because shit doesn't always work out like that. Like all of America is not going to apply the lessons that we're teaching. But what was taken was production and the people making decisions. And they said, how can we learn from what happened, what we watched, and how can we apply those lessons to the forward seasons? And we saw it play out. So, you know, I'm disappointed. You just want to see a season of people play the game. There are, like I always say, it's a microcosm of reality of America. And unfortunately, racism exists. But you just hope that people would know better, do better, be better when they know that there's cameras on 24/7. But that's the point of the game, right? Who are we? We know we're being watched. And, you know, the unfortunate reality is that those colors can still show.
For sure. And I know you and Janelle recently talked about like the importance of live feeds and viewers getting to see everything. This must just reaffirm that stance for you.
I mean, Canada, take notes. Come on. I mean,
right?
Let's be real here. Like the live feeds, getting rid of the live feeds removes such an important element of why Big Brother was created, right? I mean, like George Orwell, come on. Like we're talking about the concept of Big Brother. You're always being watched. Change the name if you're getting rid of live feeds, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've said this over and over. Sun is the best disinfectant. The live feeds are the sun. You have to see it all as much as possible so that you can't escape the reality of what the people in the house are living.
Yeah. And it's interesting. People go in there probably thinking maybe they're not racist or don't have implicit bias. And then, you know, we do see it. And hopefully, well, the goal would be for the people that maybe do have implicit bias and don't realize it can learn from it. But that doesn't always happen, obviously.
You hope it does. And I think that's why I was so comfortable going into the house out of any other reality show that, you know, reached out or tried to recruit me before Big Brother or at the same time as Big Brother. I was just like, well, I'll be safe with Big Brother because I'm okay with the best and worst parts of me being shown. And if the worst parts of me are the ugliest parts of me that are known to America, then I'm fine being held accountable and working through that so other people can learn from it. So, you know, like, sign up for this. We know what it is. Just don't be racist. Shouldn't be that hard.
It shouldn't be. Well, in terms of this season, I guess on a lighter note, you know, we're seeing someone like Sari, who's played Big Brother 4 times. Were you aware, and she's won Traitors, were you aware of her legacy, and what do you think about her being in the house?
My first introduction to Sari was Survivor, was Traitors.
Traitors.
Yeah. And even then, I'm so sorry, you guys, I didn't finish Traitors. I just got busy or something.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot happening, you know, but I know how it ended. I went to the after party. We all ended up in New York at the same time. So I got to hang out with the cast, which was a lot of fun. But that was my first intro to Sari. And I just remember when they picked her as a traitor and they revealed everybody. That was a fucking G. I was like, you didn't breathe. You didn't blink. You didn't know anything. And I literally said, I would never want to play Big Brother with her. I'm glad I'm not. Yeah. I'm so happy I'm not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd be screwed if I were in that Big Brother house because I would not recognize who she is. I would not know the legacy of her abilities in the game. And then even the family twist would screw me up too.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you ever play with your mom? Like, how would that go?
I love my mom so much.
Yeah.
I don't think that she would be a good Big Brother player. Like I'm very, I mean, look, we all saw I'm very even keeled as possible. I can take a hit and like suck it in like Black Panther's vibranium suit. And then when it's time to use it, you just explode it out. Right. You like use the power. My mom's not taking the hit. Like she's reacting to everything. She would give you a good BB10 fight reaction. She'd give you entertainment, but if you're trying to get to the end together, I might have to cut her loose.
It's tough. It's like kind of an advantage, but at the same time, and they have to keep a secret, which I don't know. I'm a bad liar, so I wouldn't be able to do that, but
yeah. It'd be fun to play around like that, but and their game is 100 days. That's crazy.
How long was yours?
I was in the house for 82 days.
Oh, wow. So that's significantly longer.
That's longer than when I was in the house plus how long I was sequestered.
Wow.
For me, it was 94 days.
That end game is going to be boring. The last few weeks, when it's just a few of them, it's like
miserable. And I don't really see any showman's potential here. I see a showman's from boredom coming around. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that.
It happens. You're there for so long. The person you're looking at is right in front of you, and you're like, listen, I got an itch. And I'm not scratching it myself.
Are you speaking from experience or?
What are you talking about? That's so funny. I heard Big Brother is a long game. I don't know.
It is. Well, okay. So any other favorites from this cast? Like anyone stick out that you're enjoying or not enjoying?
Oh, well, I love Mimi. Mimi and I actually come from the same pageant coaching family. So I'm just really excited to see how she does. She's playing a really good.
She's doing good.
She's doing great. She doesn't have too many eyes on her. People aren't throwing her name around that much. And look, it's going to be a long pre-jury or however they're working this out. So that's exactly the position you want to be in right now. She's got a good, the Brown Sugar Alliance. Those are some solid players that are going to protect her. So I feel good about her position. I'm happy.
Me too. In terms of for example, Kirsten is on the block, which we don't really know what's going to happen with this eviction this week, but you were on the block week one, I guess. What does it feel like being on the block first? I mean, that it kind of hit her hard, I think. Did you feel that as well?
Yeah, there's a point. And of course, you know, I see some discourse about Kirsten and her experience in the house compared to mine. And I just feel like I had the experience that she's having on the most extreme setting, and hers is probably like light to medium, right?
Yeah.
But they're still on the same spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I played the game, or the point that I made so much in playing my game, was, hey, Black women are put in this position over and over and over again.
Mm.
So yeah, her experience may not be the exact same, and I don't want anybody to have the same experience I had, but there are parallels. And this is not the first time between me or her that we've seen an experience like this.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating because I feel like, do we learn nothing from this at all? What lessons did we take from this? You guys are talking about her playing a game too hard. Please look in a mirror, the rest of you. You all are insane psychopaths. But the other thing is, when you're the sitting on the block going into an eviction night, you're in a position where you don't have a lot of allies. You're in a position where you don't have a lot of people that are trying to build alliances with you, because you're either going to be at the bottom of that alliance or you're already on the way out the door.
Yep.
So people don't want to talk game with you. They don't want to associate with you. It's a very difficult position to be in. So, you know, I remember coming up with like two or three different plans, because I knew end game, if some wonky thing didn't happen with the eviction, like, what was it? Mon Juan hat getting passed around, or safety chain, something. I knew that I was out the door, but I had to propose alternate universe realities that could keep me in the game. So I would say things like, hey, maybe there's a safety chain or Mon Juan, and then we're in a position where you could save me instead. And that's spinning out. It's emotional. It's emotional. You're the only one that's trying to save yourself. Everyone's moving ahead in the game. It's a hard.
Yes. They're thinking about the next week, and you're like, whoa, I'm still here. I didn't.
Still here. I'm still here. And it ain't over till I'm out the door. And then you get in a position of like, am I annoying you? I don't want to be annoying you. So yeah. It's the worst.
I feel for her. And I do think people are starting to like realize like, oh, wait, she's cool. I want to work with her. Like, why did I, even Riley is like, why did I put her on the block? Or why did I keep her up there?
Keep her on the block.
So that'll be interesting. But in terms of just this season in general, like if you could give advice to anyone who is playing, like what would be your best advice?
Let the other person spiral out. And that's easy with this cast. Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. Even, you know, with Kirsten, yeah, she played hard earlier, but it's because she was on the block. She was one of four people that were on the block.
Yeah.
And now we see people that are trying to secure their safety, secure their longevity in the game. And these people, Izzy, are going crazy. They're going bonkers trying to create different scenarios or try to create these alliances that may or may not benefit them long game. I see too much chaos happening for people that are playing a very, very long game. It's entertaining for me. I'm not saying to tone it down for my entertainment, but I'm saying if you want to win that 750K, you got to think a lot more conservatively.
Yeah, it's week one and it feels like week six. I don't know. It's crazy. Next I want to get to some burning questions that people tweeted at me. I obviously had to censor. I had to sift through these because there were a lot of like random ones. And I do want to get the Joseph one out of the way. You know, I saw you guys at the party. You seem to be on great terms. I know you both. I know how it is. But what's the update for everyone else about your friendship? Are you guys good? What's going
on? Yeah, I'm always so confused when people are like, are you back together? Or do you hate him? Or he's hanging out with this person, so do you hate him? Or was he always faking it? I'm like, listen, here's the thing about Joseph. And here's something that my mom used to tell me about myself. She used to be so frustrated with how nice I am to a lot of people. Hmm. And I'm just like, I never experienced that or understood that until I met Joseph. And I was like, okay, I know what my mom was talking about. You were so nice to so many people, but that's just his heart, it's his personality. I used to come from a position of, if you befriend everyone, you're a friend to no one. But I've learned about him that he just doesn't want to give up on people. And he's going to be the person that continues to work on somebody so that they don't get pulled into a darker place and start to become even more racist, sexist, homophobic, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to be the person that's going to prevent them from going that far. So, you know, now that we're separated, like we got divorced, what? But like now that we aren't dating, it's less complicated for those relationships to happen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I support him and not giving up on people. Now that doesn't mean that I have to associate with other people, and that's fine. But when it comes to our friendship, like that is my best friend. We be talking, we be chatting, like the memes that we send each other on all platforms. We got conversations and texts, DM everywhere. Like that's my friend. That's my best friend. So if anybody wants to say otherwise or believe otherwise, then just keep spinning fantasies in your head.
Yeah. I knew that was the case, but I had to ask because I know people want to know. In terms of what you are looking for, what is like your ideal man?
Oh my God. Why are so many?
I just gotta know. What are some qualities?
So look, I could give like height and profession and all those things. Actually, I have a friend that always says my type is correspondence, like a news correspondent, someone that looks like kind of professional and buttoned up, but very TV ready, solid salary, respectable position, has big
tape. I can see that.
I like that's been the history of what I've dated. So, you know, I try to keep my dating life as private as possible these days because I learned a lot from being in a public relationship, and I learned that I don't want all my stuff out there like that anymore. But you know, as far as what I'm actually looking for at the end of the day, I just want someone that is hot and kind, and that can mean a lot of things.
Oh my God. That's good. Hot and kind. Yeah. Done. Okay. So in terms of just like biggest changes in your life, what would you say is the biggest, I guess, good change and bad change since playing Big Brother?
Wow. I'll do bad then end with good. The biggest bad change is how open for discourse my daily life is. You know, who I hang out with, who I associate with, who I meet for the first time or the last time, how many times I hang out with somebody, where I go places. My friendship with other people is measured in how many times other people see it. Yeah. And that's just not, even as a private citizen, like my best friends, I didn't see them all the time, not just because of the pandemic, but because we live in different places. So it's hard to see other people invalidating my friendships or connections with people or making stronger assumptions because they see a photograph or a story here and there. And then you get in a position where like you want to defend everything and you want to defend yourself because who doesn't want to, but you know, it's just not worth it. I've got grass to touch. I've got air to breathe and I can't be fighting with people online or defending my character online. I did that enough in the Big Brother house. I'm tired of doing it.
Yeah, I've noticed that you've posted less on Instagram. Was that intentional to kind of just take a step back?
I've just been exhausted.
that too.
Literally, I have been busy. And then once I'm busy, like, look, in the past week since the Big Brother premiere party, I was in New York, and then I went to DC, and then I went to the Hamptons, then I went to New Jersey, then I went back to DC.
Oh my God.
With a puppy.
Oh my God.
I finally landed around midnight last night. So like, I'm tired. I can't keep posting every single thing in real time. Like y'all gonna get the content when you get it. But you know, I'm trying to still remain a human being at the end of all this.
Yeah, of course. You have to keep your mental health in check as well.
I do, right?
I'm curious. So you mentioned, I know we've talked about, you're not really interested in playing a regular season of Big Brother again. We have discussed a legend season. If you were to play in a legend season, Give me just a couple names of people you would want to see with you.
Okay. In the house, I'm probably just going to list mostly women, but Lisa, I'd love to see Lisa in the house again. And here's, I've talked so much about Danielle and I stand by everything I've said about her. Should have won, amazing player, best to never win. But I feel bad because I feel like I've really overshadowed Lisa and her game. And she really played an amazing game. Like, she's a great player. And I wish that one didn't have to come at the sacrifice of the other. As far as what we're talking about with the history of the game. So I'd love to see Lisa in the house. I'd love to play with her, get to know her a little more.
Yeah.
June.
Oh my God. Girl. Love her too.
And like, I either want to play with her or I want to be betrayed by her. If she betrayed me, I'd be like, thank you so much. That was so fun. I loved that. Thank you. Like, I would love to see June. I really love Casey from her intro package. I was obsessed with Casey. I was like, that girl's going to win the whole season. Y'all can talk about Tyler till you're blue in the face. I don't care. I was team Casey from the jump. And then, I don't know, I kind of want to see X in the game again just to see him play a game different than the cookout. I'd like to see anybody who's in the cookout play again to play something where they don't feel defined by their alliance. So it'd be cool to see people like that get their own opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously we've seen them a little bit on the challenge as well. And it's always interesting to see people play different shows and stuff. Someone asked, at what point in the game did you realize, like, oh my God, I actually might win this game?
I remember talking to Brittany, and it was the week that Kyle got evicted, when I was starting to talk a lot more game closely with Monty. There was just like a lot happening that week, and I was really focused on, okay, what's the actual path to the end? How do Brittany and I make it to the end here? And there was just this clear distinction where I was able to talk game with people solo when I wasn't able to do that before. I could talk to Michael and Brittany together. I could talk to Brittany solo. I could talk to Joseph solo, obviously, but I didn't really talk a lot of individual game solo. And once I felt like that door was open, I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's not just one path with the leftovers. I got like three options here. This is feeling pretty good. So that's when things started to look clearer for me. And then once we got to final four, I felt really confident that I could win one or two part of the final HOH. Now, you know, we saw how that played out.
Yeah.
We made it work in the end anyway.
You don't need to win it. That's the thing. You don't need to win the competitions to win. So that's probably how I would win, because I would not be good at them. Okay, well, those were like most of the questions. Obviously, guys, I cut a lot of the crazy ones.
A wild card. What are the crazy ones?
You know, just some that are a little, we'll get there. Okay. So I want to play a little game of play. Basically, it's called Play the Veto. Guys, give me a better name if you can think of it, but it's essentially Plead the Fifth. So you will have one veto and I'll ask you three questions and you can veto one of the questions.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. Can I answer all of them if I want to?
Of course. And honestly, like, you know, I didn't go too crazy, but we'll get there. So, okay. Number one, Taylor Hill. You won Big Brother 24 in an 8-1 vote against Monty. If the final two were Monty versus Turner, who would you have rather won?
That's a good question. I think my answer is, in the moment, I probably would have voted for Monty because I just think that he played like a more traditional game. And you got to consider, I wasn't in the jury house, so I wasn't having those conversations. And even though Brittany and I really talked up Turner in the house, I probably just would have gone the classic way of a Big Brother win. But with hindsight, and I know this is going to seem crazy, but with hindsight, I would have gone with Turner. I know a lot of people didn't respect his game, but I appreciate a lot of the moves he made, even though people feel like other people were puppeteering him. So in the moment, Monty, but hindsight, Turner.
Do you know, I actually guessed that was going to be your answer.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why. I was like, I bet you she would say she voted for Monty, but like later would be like, actually, I kind of wish Turner, like, I really did think that too. It's funny.
And that's not even about like, oh, I saw the live feeds and I don't like what you said about me. Like, it's just that comes down to gameplay.
Right. Okay. That easy one. First one. Okay. Number two, there was talk of you and Joseph possibly doing the Amazing Race. And obviously people are always asking you about the challenge. Which reality shows have you actually turned down since playing Big Brother? Any?
Oh, There's a show, I didn't sign an NDA. There's a show coming out about entertainment news hosts. It's like a reality show, kind of like a Real Housewives, but instead of a housewife, you're an entertainment correspondent. And so they would have followed people that have current roles. And then my storyline would have been like, now what is this girl who's pursuing it? What does that look like? But there's just a lot of things that I can't do because of the Paramount contract. So that was one. And then I never officially turned down, like the challenge never asked me officially. They were like,
I have known your stance.
That's the thing. They knew I was very public about it. There were some behind the scenes conversations, but there was never a, like, I never got the email. I never got the phone call. And then I was told very early on that The Amazing Race was not going to be an option for me. So I was never anywhere further than like, hey, what do you think about The Amazing Race, guys? Can I do it? And they're like, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, timing wise, or just like, that doesn't make sense. I'd be like, yes, please come on our show. We want people to watch it.
Hey, that's actually really funny. I have I said this before? I think I've said this before, so I won't keep it for the end. But I kept asking casting, like, hey, what's going on with The Amazing Race? What's going on The Amazing Race? And they kept saying, no, I don't think they're going to want Big Brother people. They're not going to want Big Brother people. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
Like, me and Joseph would be a great team. Like, we just had this crazy run on the show. Why don't they want us? And by the middle of the season of The Amazing Race, it clicked. I said, oh my God, Eric and Claire probably won. And they don't want another Big Brother couple because of that.
Yep.
And I call or I texted Derek and I texted Claire. And I was like, I know you guys won. They're like, what are you talking about?
Wait, that makes sense, because are they the second people after Cody and Jessica to win?
Yeah,
I mean, Big Brother, they do pretty well, so maybe they're just like, all right, let's chill on the Big Brother.
Yeah, and Derek and Claire are such gamers, like, it was pretty funny that they were going to do well no matter what, but once I kept getting to know, I was like, I played Big Brother, I know what's going on here.
Yeah, I'm going to need some proof of life for Derek, because I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on with him. I'm like, are you on the trade? Like, what are you doing?
I go to LA this weekend. We usually get lunch all together. I haven't heard from him. He hasn't responded to my text, so I don't know where he is.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Okay, number three. This one's a tougher one.
Oh, shit. I didn't use that.
You won America's Favorite House Guest, and you were a very popular player. Do you think anyone you hung out with after the show used you for clout, and can you say names?
That's good. That's really good.
You can play the veto if you want.
I could.
But you don't have to. It's up to you.
I had this rule when I was a title holder. When I was with Michigan USA, I said I would never not answer a question.
Wow. So,
wow. I just try to pull the curtain back on all of this stuff, because at the end of it, it's still foreign to me. Do I feel like anybody used me for clout? I was very skeptical of that. I'm not trying to like protect anybody right now. I was really skeptical of that coming out of the house, you know, having just won everything and you're on high in endorphins of everything. But once I realized I had genuine apologies from people before they left the house, before they had their exit interviews and everything like that, and then I got those apologies reiterated afterwards, that's when I was like, okay, this isn't clout. Like, you genuinely already felt this way and you're reiterating it now that we have more time together. Indy did always have that damn camera in my face though, outside the house. I was like, Indy, damn, like, can you chill a little bit? Like,
Indy,
I'm just trying to like eat. I'm just trying to see if I'm going to date this guy. Like, what's going on here? So sometimes I would tell Indy to chill a little bit, but she's just a camera person. So,
okay. Well, Taylor did not use her veto, so that is very impressive.
You can't use the veto if you never won the veto. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, you never won one. Oh my God. Okay. Well, thank you for being a good sport. Well, before we wrap up, you know, I always want some exclusive tea for my listeners, and I'm thinking about, and maybe you have something in mind too, but I did want to ask you something, you know, whatever you're comfortable sharing. Can you give us some exclusive tea and clear up maybe a rumor, you know, you've been spotted with a certain person from Big Brother 23. Can you give us anything about like, is that a thing? Is it not a thing? Anything you could tell us?
Pout and the shoulder and lean in. Look, Okay, so the night of the premiere party, Kylan asked me to grab food, and he's been a friend. Like anybody else that could have asked him to grab food, I didn't think anything of it. And while we were out there, I kind of picked up on some vibes, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, like, is this a date? And he said something along the lines of, like, I would like it to be, or hoping it would be. So,
Wow.
look, I enjoyed myself. He's always been a really, really great friend to me. And like, that's kind of where it is now. But, it is crazy to me how wild the rumors got from
Oh,
that.
yeah.
Like, Taylor has been sneaking around with Kylan since February at the Super Bowl. And I'm like, are you guys insane? Like, first of all, I was in a relationship then, and my boyfriend at the time was with me the day before at the Grammys. He did like basically a 10-hour round trip flight to go from Florida to LA back to Florida so he could go to the Grammys with me and then go to a charity event. And now I'm being accused of cheating on that man because I know, right? It's ridiculous. Kylan just happened to be in Arizona at the same time. There's like a weird ticket thing happening between me and some other friends. So like, this is what I mean when I say I'm frustrated about having to like explain myself. Oh yeah, right, Benji. It gets exhausting. It gets overwhelming. And you want to defend your character between like some half-truths, some ridiculous lies, but you try to be as forthright as possible as you can. That's all.
Yeah, and that's why we're clearing it up here.
You asked me to tell you something no one else has heard before, et cetera, et cetera. And I was thinking about my background check that I did for the show. Well, it's no secret. We all do background checks. We all do social media checks. And I remember when the results came back, I had a flag because on my Instagram, I had something that said, newsflash, Hitler was bad. And because the word Hitler was in
Oh.
there, it got flagged and like, hey, this is possibly something that could not be good. And I remember like, I was like, why is this in here? And casting call, and they're like, don't worry. Like that's, you can see why it was flagged, but you don't have to worry about it being a bad thing. It's just the word Hitler. So I was like,
Okay,
okay.
wait. So they're actually checking people's social media. This is good
Yeah.
news.
Oh yeah. No, my whole social media was like combed through. They probably hire a private agency outside and it'll pull up all the stuff. I don't know about all the stuff clearly over the years, but it pulled up some in-depth stuff for me.
Okay, but they cleared it up
It's pretty
quickly.
clean.
Okay. Well, thank you, Taylor. You're always so open. You're fun. Thank you. And I always love catching up with you. I really do appreciate it. And for the listeners, please like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review if you like my content. And I will be back later this week to go over week two. And then next week, I'll have another winner to talk to. So, yes, I'll see you next week.